Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. I am riding solo for this one after the Lakers win their semifinal game against the Cleveland Cavaliers in double overtime, sending them to the championship game to defend last year's Summer League title. That was a really fun one. Unfortunately, I had to write the recap for it for Silver Screen and Roll, but that's neither here nor there, and I would imagine you don't particularly care about that kind of thing. Today's show, I'm going to talk about the Josh Hart and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope kind of situation. It's not really a situation right now, and I'm going to explain why it isn't a situation, and that I don't think it's one of those things that anybody has to get all hot and bothered about having to choose one over the other. And I'll get into the reasons behind that and just kind of offer as much context as I can on the situation and then give my two cents on how I think this can play out best for the Lakers and everybody involved, really, right? So we're gonna talk a little bit in the beginning about what Josh Hart is doing so far, what he's shown thus far in his career, what Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has shown in his career. That'll be the first segment. The second segment will be, all right, what do the Lakers really need from this position? What do both of those guys offer in that respect? So that'll be really interesting. And then moving forward into segment three, I'm going to talk about, all right, how can this best play out? What do both those guys offer if this is a situation, which I don't think it is, but if this is a situation where the Lakers have to choose one or the other, which way should the Lakers probably go? As always, you guys know where to find the show. Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Silver Screen and Roll, where I write. You can follow me on Twitter, at Anthony Irwin LA, and you can follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Lakers. Let's start here then, all right? So first, let's start with, what does Josh Hart bring to the table in terms of the player and in terms of the entity that the Lakers obviously used a draft pick on? And what might he offer moving forward? So they drafted him coming out of Villanova. He's a champion in college, and it kind of makes sense that he would be, given the things that he brings to the table, and both tangibly and intangibly. I just really like the way he approaches the game. They said during the ESPN broadcast that he's been approaching Miles Simon all tournament long out there in Vegas, saying, all right, I want to guard the other team's best player and also shoulder whatever offensive load that you need from me. And like, everybody's going to roll their eyes, especially with this coming from me, but I don't think Kobe necessarily gets enough credit for that over the course of his career, right? And look, guarding the other team's best player in summer league is not nearly the same thing as guarding the other team's best player night by night on the perimeter, night by night during an NBA season. But this is all he can do, right? You play the player that's in front of you, the team that's in front of you, and you try to make that work as best you can, and that's what he's done. He's just really shown a lot of stuff, and I always kind of go back to that quote that he gave heading into playing in the Summer League, and now since Summer League, he's given some good ones, but this one especially really catches my eye or my ear, where he said something along the lines of, he was asked, what are his expectations heading into summer league? You're a second year player. They're expected to play well. How would you kind of define playing well out there? And he said, I want to dominate. And there was a follow-up question that people asked him about what he might mean specifically by that. And he said, I want it to be known for every second that I'm on the court with the Lakers. I want it to be known that the Lakers are significantly better with me out there than when I'm not, when I'm sitting. And considering the player that he is probably going to wind up being, I don't think he's going to be any kind of NBA superstar. I don't think he has that kind of ceiling. But if he's a high-level role player, being willing to do whatever it possibly takes to win basketball games and help your team win basketball games, like that's the mentality that he brings here. And the fact that he brings it in a setting where he could very easily just focus only on counting stats and only on scoring and not necessarily care as much about defense, the fact that he's still focused on that stuff is incredibly promising, and that's a great place to start as well. And then when you look at Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, like he's a little bit more of a known entity. I believe what's kind of funny here is that he and Josh Hart are fairly close in age, which is kind of insane, right? Yeah, Josh Hart is heading into his year 23 season. KCP is heading into his year 25 season, so a couple years of separation there. Though obviously KCP has been in the league longer, and last year I thought KCP was very solid, especially if you, and this is a weird sentence to say, right? But if you take away the time that he spent dealing with his legal issues, he was a very good player, and he winds up shooting a career best 383 from the free throw line. He offered up, I think it was +5 in terms of win shares, which is a solid season from him. Both guys are positive net rating guys, so they're very similar in terms of the things that you want to get from those guys. I think Hart is a little bit more disciplined. Especially on offense, KCP takes some interesting shots. We'll just call them that. But both guys bring things that you need from the positions that they play. And what I'm going to talk about here in the next segment is that doesn't necessarily mean that overlap is something that the Lakers should be concerned about. We'll get to that here in a second. So generally speaking, when two players play the game or are expected to bring similar things to the game, the tendency from fan bases is to say, we can only have one of those guys. We don't want that much overlap from those two guys. We need to see how else we can use that roster spot or those minutes or whatever and kind of go from there. And my thing with that is like, why? Having guys who can play defense on the perimeter the way that both those guys are capable of, though I think KCP is a little overrated, and I think Josh Hart is a little bit overrated in terms of his defense. I think that statistically, some of those issues, we'll see if he takes a step forward, but I think statistically, I was seeing somebody say, I think it was Tim Kranjes, who was saying that Hart isn't as good as you would believe, or you'd be led to believe defensively. But as a rookie, I think you take his season 10 times out of 10, and maybe an 11th if you have that opportunity. And for both those guys, you need, especially on a LeBron James team, you need guys who can kind of produce in small, not require a huge time on the ball to produce. That's the case with both those guys. You need guys to be able to be willing to just carry a burden more on the defensive end than on the offensive end. Both those guys are willing to do that. You need guys to be able to switch up and down the roster. KCP, I'm not necessarily as sure. I think it depends on the small forward. Whereas I think Josh Hart can guard 1 through almost 4, depending on the fours, given how strong he is. The dude's built like a freaking fire hydrant. When he wears that yellow uniform out there, he actually might look like he actually resembles a fire hydrant. And you know, both those qualities, being able to switch, Hart being a little bit more flexible in the guys that he can guard, is very valuable. And that they'd be willing to do that and accept the roles that they're willing to accept is very valuable. The big difference here, though, and this is going to be something to monitor over the course of the season, I didn't think Hart had this kind of production off of the dribble that he's shown. He's always been a very good finisher in transition. He's so strong that knocking him off the line is not something that most defenders are going to be able to do. But he's made some moves, some off the dribble threes that he's making, some different ways of finishing with both hands in the key has been really interesting to watch. Off the dribble jumpers, like he's been very good offensively. I don't know whether that's going to carry over or transition into the next step of being able to create for other people. But as of right now, the steps that we've seen moving forward from him in Summer League, and this is the big disclaimer that you always have to talk about with Josh Hart, is that this is Summer League that we're watching. But so far, what we've seen from Summer League has been very impressive in terms of things that he said he was going to work on in the offseason and then very obviously worked on in the offseason. So if that carries over onto an NBA court in NBA minutes with NBA expectations or LeBron team expectations, that is very valuable. And we'll see how those minutes get divvied up over the course of the season. But Magic Johnson's already making the case, or saying that Josh Hart is making the case to start. That's where this does become kind of an either or kind of situation, where you have to decide which of those two guys are going to start at the two spot. But as of right now, it's nice to have both guys there as options. And what I'm going to take another quick second here. When I come back, I'm going to talk about, well, what options do the Lakers have in terms of moving forward? Do they have to maybe consider moving off of one of those guys? Does one guy deserve to get the lion's share of the minutes there? We're going to get to all of that here in a second. So as I said in the last segment, I am not a believer in an either or kind of situation beyond that one guy can probably start. The cool thing here is that I think those guys can actually play alongside each other, given the players that are on the court with them. So like, if you have Lonzo Ball and LeBron James and Brandon Ingram on the court out there with them, or some combination of those three guys with, say, a five out there to protect the rim, then I think having both those guys out there and being able to switch up and down the roster or up and down the lineup actually makes for some really intriguing lineup possibilities. I think then those guys can play with just, obviously, as I've said all show here, both guys can obviously play with anybody. There's nobody on the Lakers roster and almost nobody across the league that somebody who plays the game or approaches the game the way Josh Hart does, especially, there's nobody that guy that Josh Hart won't be able to play with and fit with. And look, I think it's why it wouldn't shock me over the course of the season to see, hey, should Josh Hart be getting more props potentially than Kuzma, given what he offers on defense? I think those who are saying that right now are kind of getting away with themselves or getting ahead of themselves. I think if we were to see Kyle Kuzma in Summer League right now, we'd be saying a lot of these same things about Kuzma that we're saying about Hart, right? Because Kuzma is so good. He was frankly too good to play in this league, and Hart is probably too good to play in this league. So to get back to the topic at hand, I think it would behoove the Lakers to keep both those guys on the roster, and I'd be perfectly cool with divvying up the minutes, the two-spot minutes, almost equally between Hart and KCP. And the nice thing is, Hart being as stout as he is, as strong as he could spend some time potentially at small forward if there's kind of injuries or based on matchup. I just think both those guys deserve minutes because they both play styles of play that are conducive to winning basketball games. The thing that should probably be talked about here, and you know, all of this is a moot point if Josh Hart is included in a deal for Kawhi Leonard. And yes, it would be a bummer, but I would include Hart in a deal for Kawhi Leonard, even given what we've seen from him and given what I think he's capable of. You, at some point, you need to draw the line and realize, okay, you know, Kawhi, when healthy, is a top five player. If the Lakers can get away with giving up Hart and potentially not Ingram, you know, Hart, a couple first-round picks, Zubats, and maybe a pick swap or whatever, and that gets you Kawhi Leonard, you kind of have to pull the trigger on that deal. But as it stands right now, they have both guys on the roster. And more importantly, in Josh Hart's case, they have Hart under team control potentially for, well, they have him under the 2018-19 season for $1.6 million, 2019-2020 at 1.9, and then in 2020-2021 for 3.49, about $3.5 million. To compare, they have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for $12 million just next season alone, and then he hits free agency again, right? So in terms of actual value, when you take into account contract status, Hart is almost objectively more valuable to the Lakers right now than Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And that's crazy to say, although if we're taking into account contract status and stuff behind the scenes, KCP's presence on the team potentially helping the Lakers tamper or talk to Rich Paul to you know, be in communication with LeBron James' camp. Like, that's pretty hard to overlook. If there's any way to get Josh Hart on Clutch or as a Clutch client, I think the Lakers should be maybe nudging him in that direction so that LeBron would be cool with keeping Hart and letting KCP walk by the end of next season and just opening up that much extra cap space. But again, I mean, you're looking at the qualifying offer for Hart in 2021-2022 is only $5.2 million, right? So over the next, even if we round up across the board, you're talking $4 million, about $7 million before you have to make a decision on Josh Hart, and that's over the next 3 years. And you compare that to the $12 million that they have with KCP. That's quite the difference between those two guys. And maybe KCP, you know, because of Hart's abilities and what he's shown, if that carries over to next season on an NBA court against NBA players, maybe the Lakers are okay with including KCP. Again, I doubt it happens because he's a Clutch guy. But if, and Clutch with a K, just so that you guys are all listening and paying attention, or just so we're clear here, Clutch with a K, meaning LeBron James client or Rich Paul client, however you want to define that kind of situation. But I think if the Lakers do make a trade with San Antonio for Kawhi Leonard, KCP's $12 million expiring deal, especially given the Spurs weren't willing to match their contract with Slo-Mo. They just paid Davis Bertans a little bit much. They lost Tony Parker. They might start looking into cutting costs and really hitting that ground running. KCP being an expiring contract helps them do that. So maybe KCP gets included in the trade instead of Josh Hart. Though again, I think if I'm the Spurs, I would be begging for Josh Hart in any kind of deal. Like, he just seems like the perfect Spur. He's perfect. Oh God, that was gross to say. I apologize. I should be fired for that. David, if you're listening, I probably deserve to go for that. I should probably end this. I'm going to make a couple more points and go wash my mouth out with soap. But one last thing here before we go, and this is regarding Hart and KCP specifically. And just in terms of team building period moving forward, the Lakers are starting to realize what's important, what they need to value in terms of building a team around LeBron James. And while people might laugh at KCP because he's a Clutch guy or because he spent some time with some legal issues last year, whatever, he does fit quite well basketball-wise with LeBron James. Josh Hart, being able to create his own shot, and we'll see if he's able to add to that and create for others. Like, he fits really well with LeBron. Steve Mykhailiuk, who we haven't even talked about, I don't think he could play the two, so this he doesn't really fit into this kind of conversation. But he really seems to fit with LeBron in terms of what you want to offer there. And as much as I despise the Lance Stephenson signing, the Lakers have put a roster around LeBron. In theory, this is only in theory right now. Things need to work out right for this to actually be proven correct. But the Lakers do have a decent team around LeBron. And they're going to be relying really heavily on the development of their young core and the steps forward that Josh Hart very obviously took. Like, that's the kind of thing that's contagious across the roster. That's a culture thing. And if Josh Hart is you know, he basically, what he did in Summer League is he basically threw the ball out there. He set the bar for the rest of the young Lakers, Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, go on down the line there. And he basically said, this is the amount of improvement I've made this offseason. Y'all better keep up, or else it's going to be all the more obvious when you don't, or if you don't. And that kind of setting up a culture, again, Hart is only a small part of this kind of culture. The culture is really going to start with LeBron, but you know LeBron's going to work hard, right? And LeBron is going to respect how hard Hart works. And for the Lakers, if everything is going to work out, if they're going to win a title with LeBron James on the roster, it's going to come hugely in part because the Lakers' young core took steps forward consistently over the time that they had LeBron in the organization. And this is where Josh Hart's improvement speaks really well to the things that Laker fans need to see if they hope that this all works out as well as it could possibly work out. So shouts to Josh Hart. Freaking love hearing that guy say, he's saying that, you know, he's not too big to play in Summer League and that he just wants to go out there and play. He very obviously loves the game, loves the competition. It was fun to watch him and Colin Sexton go back and forth throughout that game. Sexton has a really, really bright future ahead of him. So for everything that Laker fans might have wanted to watch this offseason, in terms of after signing LeBron and once they moved past some of the signings and the head scratching that went on there, like, this is what you kind of sort of needed to see and wanted to see. And the way the Lakers are competing on this Summer League roster or across this Summer League roster, like, that might be one of those small steps forward that the organization takes in building this culture. And that's really what the Lakers are going to need in order to succeed consistently and sustainably over the course of Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, et cetera's tenure. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you to everybody who are still here listening to me ramble. We'll be back at it again tomorrow. Pete's going to be on here, and I'll run some of these theories or some of these topics by him. If you have any questions for Pete specifically, leave it in a 5-star review on iTunes. Mention Pete specifically, and I'll look that up. I'll make sure to look at those before we start recording. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great rest of your day. And hey, maybe by the time next episode airs, we'll be talking about the Lakers defending their Summer League title and the rings that we can celebrate from that. Have a great day, everybody.